Welcome to the first episode of the podcast that accompanies the new international residency program, which is a collaboration between the Theatre Festival of Flanders, the Dutch Theatre Festival, and the Battersea Arts Centre in London. This international residency took place over the course of 9 days at 3 festivals with 6 makers, 2 from each of the organizers' countries, who were invited to get together to look at the festivals from their personal perspectives, to take stock of the state of performing arts in each of the countries that they visited, and share their findings with one another. During the Horizon Showcase at the Edinburgh Festival, late August, the Dutch Theatre Festival, in early September, and the Theatre Festival of Flanders, in mid-September, the guests and residents have visited and discussed performances, met other professionals, discussed work practices, international themes, and ultimately have shared their findings with the public in various ways, which includes this podcast series. My name is Lisanne Kniese, and together with Debbie Oskam, we accompanied the guests in residence during their time in Amsterdam. This is the first of 2 episodes. In this first episode, I sit down and talk with 3 of the 6 participants. Those participants are Mark Moon, Maria Magdalena Kozłowska, and Priska Agnes-Nishimwe. We specifically talk about their experience of this residency, the experience of watching 18 shows with 6 other people in such a short span of time, how this residency being experience-oriented and not outcome-based has affected them, and we dive deeper into a couple of shows that the group has seen both in Amsterdam and in their first stop in Edinburgh. If you wish to learn more about the International Residency Program in general, and each of the participants in particular, please listen to the introductory podcast in which I sat down with each of the participants individually for a small, cozy chat in the Theatre Café de Smoeshaan. Welcome. At my table today, I have Mark.
Yes. Hi, everybody. I'm Mark. I am a theatre director, maker, translator from England.
I am Priska. I am from Antwerp. I was raised there, but I was raised by a mom from Togo and by a dad from Rwanda. And I am a performer.
And I'm Maria Magdalena Kozłowska. I'm a director and performer and a singer, originally from Poland, but I've been living in Amsterdam for the last 4 years. And I've graduated from Das Arts in Amsterdam.
Thank you. You guys are here within the residency context. You spent 3 days in Edinburgh, where you saw a whole bunch of shows. You are now on your 3rd day in Amsterdam, where you also saw a whole bunch of shows. And tomorrow you're going on a train towards Ghent, where you're also going to see a whole bunch of shows. Could you guys maybe share something about what it is like to go see these shows with 6 people? And over the course of the shows, you get to know each other more?
Well, it's quite special. I would say it brings you together and it gives you a lot of different perspectives and you look at the performance totally different. And I'm speaking from my own experience that I don't put myself that open in the performance. I'm really conscious about, like, after the performance, I will have to have an opinion or not. You know, in this way, I found it maybe not ideal, but the perspectives you get from seeing something in totally different ways, I love. Everybody has seen or smell or felt something different, and it's really nice to be able to share this. So has a positive side and a negative side.
I think also, because I agree, sometimes you don't want to give an opinion straight away. I think that's what you're talking about a little bit, which I agree with. I'm still formulating an opinion of a show that we saw yesterday, and I'm getting closer to why I think what I think, but I'm still not quite there yet. And that's okay, because actually, maybe someone will say the thing that I'm thinking better than me. This is what often happens with me a little bit. Somebody, and I'll go, oh, that is exactly what I'm trying to, what I feel, and I haven't been able to articulate it yet. And it's funny, isn't it? Sometimes, like yesterday, we all sort of unanimously felt something on the last performance, but then we all went and had food and didn't talk about it. And that's okay, because I think it would just, it was a sort of a general implicit consensus between us all that we'll talk about that tomorrow, I'm sure, in another moment. But right now, I need to eat expensive Chinese food right now, just because that's what my body needs a little bit more, rather than dissect something that we'd all really enjoyed. But yeah, for me, it's, we're all different ages, we're all different experiences, we're all different nationalities. I think my understanding, at least, is we've all embraced that. And, you know, nobody's given everyone a rundown of their CVs. Like, we actually don't know that much about each other before Edinburgh. There was like a little biog, but everyone's busy, so we probably all just scanned it quite quickly. And it would be interesting if we all had, like, I mean, for my position's quite strange, I'm the only one who's shown work, kind of, so that is quite odd. I wonder what it'd be like if everyone, you know, within the residency saw it, there would be a very different experience. But the whole point of this one is that it was it's non-outcome based. And so actually the conversations therefore are just getting to know each other's perspectives by watching work. And it's more maybe a coincidence more than anything that I had something that we'd all seen. So it would change it, and it might become a little bit more traditionally like you show my work and we talk, and it might be a bit, and this is not meant to be that. So actually I kind of respect the setup ultimately and accept the coincidence of my own position within the group. But yeah, I think we've all kind of, I've really personally really enjoyed just listening to everybody and accepting who they are within the group. Actually, I think it's not always the case, I think.
Yeah, certainly there's some ambivalence in this situation where you need to have an opinion on something. Actually, I mean, it's silently expected somehow. But then it's such a treat also to be forced to formulate an opinion, because this is what we ultimately love, just to share what we think and a little differences, sometimes little arguments. And I think it's beautiful that there is this space open for us to have that and to just really, because it's basically what we're supposed to do here. It kind of, opens a lot of possibilities, and not to feel too guilty about feeling strongly about something and just, you know, going on and on and on about what we liked or we disliked. And also, of course, forming some bonds with some people over what we hated, but also over what we loved. So that's just great. And I completely agree that it's nice that we are being spared this heaviness of kind of giving feedback to each other about our... I told Priska today that I would love to experience the research of all of you, maybe even more than the work, which of course I would love as well. But then, I would be, you know, love to have that form of a formula of a lab where everybody gives a little assignment to the others and maybe then enrich their own research, and that we just creatively spend time together. Mm-hmm. Also without a need to produce a certain income would be nice. So in general, I've been, you know, having the time of my life. I love it.
Have you ever, any of you, had this experience before where you went with a larger group of people and you saw the same performances a couple of days in a row?
Yeah, I experienced that during my Des Arts times, as well as during watch and talk residency at Zürcher Theaterspektakel, for example. They hold that. And I know that there are some festivals, maybe especially in Switzerland, because I know that also Belluard Festival in Fribourg have that kind of holds that kind of invitation to people.
From makers?
Mostly for makers. I think only for makers.
Outside school, I didn't have this experience. So I'm I'm quite grateful because mostly it's about a financial thing. You wish to, but I mean, you rather make something than, I think it's really important for artists to go and see other artists. And even I'm so happy that it's also with an exchange with England, with Edinburgh. I mean, you have an idea about. You talk about it, but it's nice to see it in real life and see others' realities about art somewhere else. So I think it's a really, really cool project that I haven't done before.
I think I've done it in different guises, but never in this format of no outcome expected from you in some way. Like, I think I've done it, you know, in various ways, but not with this, we're going to do this. We have no real expectation of you per se, obviously podcast or, you know, but like in terms of like artistic output, I would also agree with what you said before about the fact that it would be interesting to just almost like they put our names in a hat and then we had to go into twos and spend 2 days together and we talk back what we did together in those 2 days just as a way to end. I don't know. There's something interesting in that, you know, again, with the sort of no expectation, but there is that desire, isn't there? I think within us all just to kind of like get to know each other on that level. So even if you end up spending 2 days talking about each other's process, or the other two might end up doing a performance of some sort, you know, that would be interesting just to see what we all came up with at the end, not at the beginning.
I think it's always nice to have an outcome in a certain way for yourself, to go home and be like, I did this. So I think this project, this international project is really nice, but it would be extra nice if, like Mark and Maria said, if we would have maybe another week in the future, like with all this process, to come back together and to like really see and make something together, and maybe not all together, but like have this outcome. The fact that you meet new people and the possibilities that it creates, I mean, there's no negative thing I can say about it. I mean, and that it's funded, that people put the effort to see that artists need it also to get out of a comfort zone, to meet new people, to get in touch with organizations who know, who has knowledge.
So that's something that you miss as an artist, all of you. The funding and everything is very focused on output. You miss an outlet where that would enable you to go and experience what's already out there.
I think what's different to this, often it's my friends who are programmers or promoters who are paid to go abroad to watch shows for commerce, essentially. I mean, obviously not just for commerce, but they go out to buy shows to bring back to countries. As an artist, you'll often see other work from international artists because you happen to be at that festival, because you're taking work there, rather than you're there just seeing work without that expectation. I think that's what's unique about this setup, essentially, which is what I think is kind of really strong about it, ultimately. So yes, you're right in that sometimes there's certain things lacking for artists, but what this provides is kind of like a slightly different way of just, you know, paying us to be able to go and do that and then saying, let's see what happens without, you know, certainly from, I was approached by BAC, so I can speak from my experience, but it was sort of quite open-ended as an offer, really. And I think that's quite rare to just invest that time, money, effort, care, energy into kind of all of that recruitment and then execution of the whole project is not really very common. I think that's what makes it specific.
Did you ever doubt it when they came to you with this open offer? Did you ever go like, oh my God, when is the thing going to pop up?
Well, you know, it's not finished yet, so we'll see.
How was that, the recruitment experience for you, Maria Magdalena? What were your thoughts about this residency initially?
Well, I was invited to be part of it, I think, on quite an early stage of it being prepared by Tobias Kokkelmans.
Tobias Kokkelmans is a dramaturg and the director of the Dutch Theatre Festival.
And, well, we worked together before, and so I know that Tobias is a very insightful and very sensitive person and extremely intelligent and but also nuanced, I would say. The way he thinks is very, very nuanced. And so I trusted that whatever he proposes must be in one way or another interesting. I don't think I would. Yeah. I would do that if I wouldn't trust Tobias, because yeah, you never know. Like you know, this in the beginning, the proposal was not not necessarily very clear. It gained I would say clarity with time.
It's still gaining clarity.
Yeah, but now I know that it's actually a good thing, and it's a huge pleasure to be, yeah, you know, challenged even in that way, just not being surprised and not knowing whom and how you've met. And so I'm very grateful for that, because for me, I don't know how it is for the others, but I thrive in a dialogue and in a conversation and in non-obvious encounters as well. So yes, I'm very happy that I met the people I've met, and I can imagine a collaboration with everybody. I there are different kinds of connection going on many different levels, and it's so enjoyable to see like with whom you share what and with whom but differences are as exciting or maybe even more exciting, as we talked today with Priska, that sometimes, yeah, we are so focused on similarities, maybe on some levels of moments of our lives. But I think I'm in a moment when I'm so interested in difference and how insightful and how inspiring it can be.
Yeah, Priska.
I was quite surprised. I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. So you're asking me to go and see art? Are you paying for it? I was so surprised. I was like, oh, this is really cool. That's so nice to be able to do it. So I didn't hesitate. So I was so, so surprised. It was through Nora Mohammed, who booked me for spoken word like a while ago, a few years ago. So I was also surprised and pleased, because she still remembered me.
Mark, yesterday you saw the show Quiebra Silencio.
Quiebra Silencio is a solo performance by choreographer Ritza Stazia, in which she explores her experiences growing up in the Caribbean diaspora.
Which had some Dutch in it, which is a language you do not speak. What was your experience watching a show that included a language that you don't speak?
When we first came on the first day of the residency, it was mentioned that some of the shows wouldn't necessarily be entirely in English. And I'm okay with that. I'm sort of a linguist by trade. So I was fine with that, / I also knew that I don't imagine the curation of the shows that we'd see can sort of entirely alienate the two English speakers. The show itself, I didn't really need to know the language that I didn't know, to be honest, in my experience of it. I think for me it was an incredibly strong performance. Really, really, really strong. And in the brief conversations that we had as a group about it afterwards, I'm understanding already that our interpretations of that show were completely different from each other. I'm a kind of a white, cis, queer, gay guy who listens to a lot of music that has black female vocals at the front and center of it. So for me, to give you a brief, because I'm going to give you an overview of the beginning of the show rather than the whole thing. Don't want to do spoilers either. But it was the performer being with herself, if I think that's the pronoun, herself. I'm not sure, maybe go from themselves, just to be sure. With themselves at the start of the show, playing around with which music track, I suppose, to kind of listen to. And there was a real awareness of us as an audience that we were there. And it was this balance between enjoying the music and then being incredibly self-conscious that this was happening in a public realm at the same time. There was a particular song that she sort of settled on at the end and just basically said, fuck it, to an audience being there, and just did this incredible lip sync to the tune and to the song. And then just the level of embodiment within that show and that moment then went into a speaking section. Actually, maybe the third section. By that point, I sort of had got such a strong kind of connection with the tone of the show, with the level of ask in terms of how I was meant to be listening to the show, which was with my whole body. I honestly don't think I needed the words later on. I mean, sure, I tend to prisk at the end afterwards and sort of said, what did that word mean? What did that word mean? But it was more or less in line with what I thought it was. But yeah, it was an incredibly clever, that for me was a really impactful start to the show. But then I spoke very briefly with a couple of other people on the residency, and interpretations for that were entirely different, entirely different. I mean, for me, it was a black woman being quite self-conscious about a white gaze, and there were not just white members of the audience there for sure, but for me, that's what I was reading it, and that was what I was bringing my own perspective into the show about. And that decision just to kind of be less self-conscious and just to be themselves on the stage enjoying that song was just incredibly sort of powerful to watch. And then the show went in lots of different directions afterwards. But this one in particular, I didn't need the specificity of the words. I really, really, really enjoyed it.
I really loved the show, but I have to admit the words for me were quite powerful and needed. There were two pieces and it was quite simple. It was short, but and it was a repetition of the same phrase. But for me, it added so much also to the performance, because everything was quite subtle in expression and the way she would look and look away or find ways to connect to the public. And when she talked, she used the words, it was quite to herself. And that was for me a nice contrast, that she was not talking to the public, but talking to herself, and everything else she was mostly doing to the public. So that for me was really amazing. And yeah, I had quite a connection with her, through her, because yeah, I'm a singer at first, and this connection with music and the intangibility of sound, I always seek to describe words, but sometimes it's so much easier to just like scream or have a sound describing what you mean. So I really felt connected to the piece, also maybe because of her being a black young woman. So that made me recognize myself without that many effort. It's like you see yourself because you have the same physical features. That helps.
Yeah. What I also really enjoyed in the show was that it was playing with expectations so much, with the expectations of what a theater piece should be. The beginning was quite long, like she was absent for long, like we didn't know whom was absent. I mean, there was an absence of a body For quite a long time, there were only speakers on stage, and there was some persistent sound, but quite, I would say, like a white noise in the background. So something that we hear when something either goes wrong, but we can also, like, to me, it felt like an overture to the show, and I really enjoyed it. It was interesting to me that clearly the audience, some people felt a bit awkward maybe or uncomfortable during this prolonged, not really silence, but let's say absence of action, I would say, or I don't know, like withdrawal of action. And people started giggling or talking among themselves. And it's always so interesting to see what makes people feel in a certain way. And then, but to me, I was very grateful, I must say, that this overture was so close to some kind of a meditation even, and me being quite tired after seeing a lot of shows and having many conversations, I really appreciated this opportunity of sitting with people in a dark room and just listen to something that's barely audible. And then she appeared, and but I really liked how it set a tone for the whole performance, and you could like feel it throughout the whole thing, that like also with the gaze, and sometimes she would say something that also like set this serious tone, but then she did it in a playful way, like kind of ridiculing the very idea of being serious in a way. And I really appreciated the sense of humor that was it was very playful on the formal level, also on like levels of the performance itself. And I really appreciated that kind of training in a way, which is a very conscious training of someone who is not afraid to confront people. Also, like knowing that there are certain expectations towards a woman, towards a black woman, and towards art.
Was there a performance in Edinburgh that divided your interpretation as much as this one did? A performance where the six of you left and all of you had a different experience whilst watching it?
I'm not sure. I can't talk for others, but I have the feeling I loved Nutcrusher. I loved it. And not everybody was having the same experience.
Can you describe Nutcrusher?
Nutcrusher.
And what you loved about it.
Nutcrusher is from Sung Im Her, I guess. There were three women. Was it three or four?
Three. I was thinking the same thing. In my head, it's more, but it was three, wasn't it?
It's three.
Yeah.
But maybe they could have been 20.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been something. Yeah.
But they were dancing. It was a dance performance. For me, it was also much auditive. There was not that much music, but like by the repetition of their movement, they would create this trance of, I mean, there were like three very, very skilled dancers. And for me, it was painful to see, because they would do a particular movement over and over, over and over, that it started to become painful to watch. So it, for me, just like, I think maybe it's a personal feeling. It unlocked like this thing, this uselessness of doing things over and over again. But in a certain way, to be so skilled, you need to do it. And you need to have this drive and this extremely, I don't want to call it fate, but like, yeah, maybe it was just a really strong emotion that still I can't explain. But it touched me so deeply, of seeing three women being together, doing the same, and give each other comfort, and pushing each other to the to keep on going or something. Maybe that's the thing I saw and I felt. I felt it so deeply that it was also combined with like a performance before of Sonia Huge that really opened me up, and I really needed to cry. So after the Nutcracker was then after the one from Sonia Huge, I started crying, but I had the feeling I couldn't let it out because suddenly a lot of people were asking, how did you find the performance? And you still need to process actually the feeling and find a way to know from where it is coming from. So that's that moment that I was thinking, I just want to be alone. But yeah, the talks after are priceless. They're really nice. Very valuable.
It's interesting. I saw the togetherness that you're talking about. My interpretation, like to be, the movement for me was like a hip, what do you, hip bounce? Like a sort of, I don't know what the best, like sort of quite from the world of disco a little bit, but also a very sort of like quite traditionally feminine move, I'd say, more than anything, that just grew and grew and grew through duration more than anything. They didn't really shake up the movement. It went into towards the end, there was like a head banging and therefore hair swishing going back and forward, which was like an extension of this movement towards the end. But for the first, I'm going to say half an hour, it was mainly that hip going and then different configurations of the three bodies moving around the stage. Again, like it's interesting, I'm realizing in Edinburgh, because we didn't know each other as well, we were less open about our opinions maybe a little bit. And now we're all speaking a lot more. And also, I guess, sort of seeing each other's almost, not that I can expect what all of you are going to say, but I've got a better understanding of where you might be coming from, at the very least, hopefully still surprised by different people's opinions. But for me, an interpretation was, yeah, just like that. Yeah, an expectation of a certain image of women just being performed by them to the extent of exhaustion, which then, as you say, was also, there was a very audible count that they were doing, like 1, 2, 3, 4, was going through the whole time. And that for me was, as you say, indicative of a kind of a warmth and a camaraderie and a togetherness. So it was this repeated thing and this exhaustion, this labor and this expectation and all of this. And then suddenly you've got that voice underneath it as well. And they've chosen to present that and they're doing it together. And it's incredibly powerful and it's incredibly technical, but also not technical just because of the amount of time it's done through. And then you saw the sweat and then you could smell the bodies, and then it was incredibly close to you. And then that's when it went into something else. So I think I sort of viewed it initially as something to reflect on that then they then took appropriation of and start to control and go, well, we are doing this and we're doing this together and we've chosen to do this. And that's so that I went on a real journey. I think she may be the same journey as you ultimately, the more I speak about it out loud. Yeah. But I was really impacted by it too.
I very much respect the skill, the composition, and the general image, you know, the images that were produced by the dance. Yeah, I mean, I just instead of criticizing, I would just want to juxtapose the show with something else that I saw in Edinburgh and that I really, really loved, because I have a feeling that it managed to pierce through this image of a woman, and that it managed to actually really turn it around and do something about it. And it was The Dykeist by Mika Levy. And so I really, really loved, because again, it was described as a show which deals with the idea of a lesbian woman as a predator. But in the end, there was no predatory behavior at all. I mean, I can assume that a lesbian woman just silently, like, I mean, whispering to people and asking them to perform small actions with them, with her or with them. And to see people being transformed by this very subtle, very delicate encounter was something that moved me so much. And I was jealous that she did not pick me to do something with her. I was genuinely jealous. But I also really, it made me think a lot about how we can activate the audience without making people self-conscious or making people exposed, and to how to make vulnerability a topic, a theme, and not abuse it in a way. And then the images that were created by those encounters were sometimes on a very small scale and yet very tender and very powerful and very, very smart also when it comes to choreography or to treating bodies as sculptures. Sometimes a very small displacement or a very small shift could create some new understanding of body and even monstrosity sometimes. And then the way the space was used, that the performance was kind of going on very close to people, and but in a way so far away if you were not the one who was performing with them. So the game of proximity and again of desire, I think desire was a very, very much a tangible feeling or phenomenon in the air. So it's not that I didn't love the Nutcracker, it's just that I was offered much more on the topic of let's say, femininity. So maybe it's just about a personal taste that sometimes I was just, sometimes we're just looking for a certain type of intensity or we're dealing with certain topics. So it's not that we don't like something, but we just need something that we're not given. And it's nobody's fault. It's nobody's advantage. So, yeah.
Anything you want to share as a closing statement or final remark?
Let's do it again.
Yeah, let's continue. Let's elaborate on that.
We decided as a group that nobody else should do it. It's just us every year.
Yes.
Forever.
Until the end of life.
And maybe like a 2 week somewhere where you get to look at your own stuff together.
Yeah and that, definitely. Nice.
I'll tell Tobias. Well, thank you guys so much. And have a lovely rest of the residency.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast series, which came out of the new International Residency Program collaboration between the Dutch Theatre Festival, the Theatre Festival of Flanders, and the Battersea Arts Centre in London. This podcast was made by Debbie Oskam and Lisanne Kniesen, with the help of Luc de Groen.